Hello, everyone, and welcome to Oh, a Podcast, the podcast about playing games and making games. Brought to you by O'Rock Studios. I'm Paul Franzen, the head boy of O'Rock.
And I'm Michael Gray, the head writer of O'Rock.
How you doing today, Michael?
I guess I'm doing okay. Got a bit of a weird situation going on with One Minute Mysteries. So July 13th, I, sent in my contract and signed it and mailed it in, so it would have arrived at their place on the 15th.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently they just released the game a week later.
Okay, oh, so it's out now.
Yeah, I was not informed about this. I was checking their list of upcoming releases, and my game is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, number 8 on the list. So I assume they had 7 games before mine that would be released, but apparently not. I don't know if I leapfrogged them or what.
Oh, yeah, there it is. Oh, and it's on sale for the next few days, too.
Mm-hmm, because it's recently released.
Oh, that's the time to get it. Awesome. Is it on mobile, or is it just web, or do you know?
It's on everything. They tried to release it on everything. Yeah. So it's on the Google Play Store. It's on the App Store. It's not in the Amazon Store yet. So their link, they have a link to it, but I tried following it, and it just led to an empty page.
Yeah, I just got super excited because there's a link to Steam version too, but that doesn't lead to anything.
Oh man, I didn't see a link to a Steam version. Did they think this game is good enough for Steam?
The URL says store.steampower.com/app/insert. So I'm not sure that was ever going to work.
Look at this.
Oh, there it is on Google Play. Ooh, maybe I'm going to buy it then.
Give it a good rating.
I will.
It looks like it's 3 stars out of 5 with 6 reviews.
3.2, give yourself some credit.
Oh, 3.2. Oh, wow. Yeah. Well, it looks like some of these reviews are people that did not play past the first world, first level. I forget what I call it. Anyway. Part 1 is 10, each of the 5 parts of the game is 10 different mysteries, and the first part is just a bunch of random stories. The second part is based on the Clue series, and then the third part, they go to Washington, D.C. to find the missing president.
Oh, fun!
Yeah, and part 4 is based on Nancy Drew, The Secret of Shadow Ranch, the video game. I'm not sure if anybody picked up on... I know some people picked up on that, but I don't think anybody with the publishers picked up on that. They just thought it's like, okay, solving mystery at a ranch. And then the 5th part is based on Encyclopedia Brown series. So Encyclopedia Brown comes in. Basically, Encyclopedia Brown comes into the office and he challenges our heroes to a detective contest where they try to stump each other with detective mysteries. And just for you, I have somebody call him Almanac Andy in that section. They're like, oh man, it's the Encyclopedia versus Almanac Andy. And Andy says, nobody calls me that.
Oh. Yeah, I'm definitely going to check this out as soon as this call is over. I can't start downloading right now. It'll wreck my internet.
That is probably true. I know my internet dies whenever somebody's running the microwave.
My internet's bad if someone's, like, using it, so cool, I'm gonna be all over this, though.
But yeah, now I've just gotta, like, I guess promote it, post about it on Facebook and Twitter and such, so I was totally not expecting the game to be out already.
Didn't that happen with Pride and Prejudice, too, didn't it? Didn't it just, like, kind of come, or was there some other game? I feel like
it was
released
Pride
a game
and Prejudice,
just,
it was sort of the same thing, but... At least with Pride and Prejudice, it was like number 1 on the list of games that were releasing soon.
Right.
So it's like, okay, well that makes sense. They, you know, it was number 1 on the list, not there are 7 other games before it, and it got released anyway.
Well, it's out now, so everyone should go check it out.
Yeah, it's a great game.
Absolutely, yeah.
Trying to remember how much I've talked about it in the previous versions of the podcast, I'll give a little behind-the-scenes intro.
Yes, oh, please.
Oh, behind-the-scenes info. So with the programming...
Give me the good stuff.
You can play it either one of two ways, which is one is, you know, you type in what the mystery solution is. So it would give you a question like, what proves that Paul is not the killer? And then you could type in beard, and beard is the correct answer that proves he's not the killer. So that's one option that you can pick, or you can have the option where there are five different things which will show up. You can choose between two or five different possible answers. So you pick from a list of things. It's like, well, what proves Paul's not the killer? Is it the beard? Is it the shoe? Is it the cat?
Right. Yeah.
Is it the pizza? And it gives you lots of hints, too. You can choose how many hints you have.
Cool.
That's why I like doing that. But that ended up causing a lot of programming to happen because the game has to check how many answers you have and what hints are available to you. You know, which answer mode you're on. So it's actually like 700 words of code for each 300 word mystery.
Mm-hmm.
I found that was amusing. But here's a behind the scenes secret is option number two is always the correct one, just based on how I programmed it.
Really?
And oh, darn, I was expecting a different reaction.
Anyway, oh, no, wait.
The options appear in a random order every single time, but it's always option number two that's the correct one.
Oh. So it's always the second answer?
No, it was always the second answer that I type in, right? Because you could only have, like I said, the player gets to choose how many options there are. So they can pick from a list of two, three, four, or five. So because of that, option number one was always correct. Option number two was always the correct one. And then option three, optional. Option four, optional. Option five, optional. Because the player might never see it.
Right. And then it takes the number of answers that the player has told it to display, one through five, and then displays those answers in kind of a random order. Is that what's going on? Like, if you say you only want two answers, it'll take answers one and two and then display them in a random order, or?
Yeah, that's what I wanted. I couldn't figure out how to do it. I'm sure there's a way to do it. So what I did was I just went to random.org and put in the numbers 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 and hit the randomize button. And then I did that. And then I did that for every single one of the 50
things. Oh boy, that sounds like a lot of work.
Yeah, but I mean,
yeah, sorry,
I got
confused.
Five.
I thought that you were saying that it's always going to be, like, it presents you a list, and it's always the second item on that list is always the answer, and I was wondering if that's a good idea or not. But no, it's the second one in the programming.
I know, I was deliberately trying to trick you into thinking that was the case.
It worked!
Because I wanted that fun reaction. That,
yes, the reaction was just confusion with a hint of, oh, should I say that's bad? I don't know if I want to just drag Michael like that, but
yeah, no,
it seems bad. Okay.
I just realized now, it's like, you pick your options at the start of the game. It's like, I should have included an options menu or something so you could change partway through.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's such an interesting way to do like a difficulty mode in this sort of game, right? Because I would assume that, you know, two answers is the easiest version, five answers is the hardest version, just, you know, based on...
Yeah.
There's more options. That's actually really cool. I've never heard of something like that. I like that a lot.
Well, I would say that, typing in the answer sometimes is the harder one.
Oh, I'm not doing that one. That sounds impossible. I'm doing this.
It was really difficult to program. I don't want to do it in the
was.
Next game.
Yeah.
Because I had a tester who went and did that, and they had answers which sounded correct, but it wasn't exactly the word that the game was looking for.
That's why I don't mess with text parsers.
Yeah, so it's like, oh, is it president? Oops, it was looking for the president. So, I mean, I tried to put in as many options as possible. Hopefully there are none that I missed, but the tester who was trying to enter in the answers did find several things that I missed.
Yeah, I think I might have talked about this. I think I read an article about how they used to code these old text parser games, and that was something a lot of times they did, is they would have people test it, typing in whatever, and then the end of the test session, it would, like, the game would output a list of everything they typed in, so then the programmers could go back and account for anything that they typed in that the game didn't understand. I thought that was kind of interesting. And yeah, very difficult.
Yeah.
I think it was challenge mode for the programmer, for you.
Yeah, definitely. I think I've complained with my Encyclopedia Brown books about reusing like mystery solutions in the same book.
Yeah.
That was never fun. I'm worried that my game reused mystery solutions. I didn't realize until after it's done, I'm like, I think I've got multiple mysteries where the solution is about the timing. It's like, well, if he was dead, he wasn't able to jump up and go see a movie afterwards, and that's the flaw in the story.
Man, some of these reviews on your page are not fair. There's just like a couple people who are just like, I don't like this kind of thing, and then I played it, and I didn't like it. Like, okay, why were you playing it? Why did you think you were going to like it? I don't understand.
Well, here's one that's interesting.
Yeah.
Not an actual RPG, it's just puzzles.
I saw that one.
I don't know why this is listed as a role-playing game. It's clearly not a it's clearly a mystery game.
No, I see it right there. You were categorized under the genre role-playing.
But it's not a role-playing. Oh, my publishers. Okay.
Yeah, all right. Well, I'm looking at there's a list of genres here. I'm trying to see what it would... Like, yeah, I think like with our games, like with our visual novels, like Steam doesn't have that many options for genre either. So I think I usually end up going with adventure, even though that's not really that close, but... It's closer than role-playing, or maybe simulation might be pretty good, I guess.
Word.
How about word? Word more like word puzzles?
There are some word puzzles. I mean, there are riddles, but I mean...
Yeah. I mean, it could just be, too, that the publisher knows that you get more sales if you publish it as an RPG versus other categories. Like, maybe that's a thing.
Casual,
I think that
maybe.
Came up with, what was it, Xbox Live Indie Games? I feel like that was a thing there where everyone would publish their games in the RPG category because that's what sold the most.
That's interesting.
So
it could
be a bit of that.
The original Nancy Drew game, it is, it was presented as a mystery role-playing game. Even though it's very much an adventure game, not a role-playing game. It made me wonder, it's like, what would a mystery RPG look like?
Ooh.
I didn't have any cool ideas about it, but I thought it would be... I mean, I would check that out.
Did you play To the Moon at all?
No.
That was kind of a story-driven game
that was built
in RPG Maker. I mean, it had the look and feel... of a 16-bit Super Nintendo role-playing game, but without any combat. It was all stories and puzzles. So maybe something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was just wondering, it's like, how could you work in combat with mystery solving?
Yeah. I don't know. I think it would be really cool someday to try to make an RPG-esque game like that, like something that looks like that, but isn't necessarily combat-focused. I think that would be kind of fun to do. I don't know how we get to that point. I don't really have any ideas for a story or anything. I just think it would be fun.
Because
I like those kind of games.
Program RPGs, too.
I can handle RPG Maker. I just can't make the art. it's the age-old problem of our rock studios.
No!
I can't make it look good.
Speaking of which...
Yes.
Escape Room game was finished, and I emailed it to you, and now I can forget about it.
Yes.
Yeah, for some reason, I just mentioned it at dinner or something, and my stepdaughter's like, you made an escape room game. I want to play it.
Aww.
And she did. And so I actually had her do some programming herself, which was interesting the first time, but not the second time. But it's basically doing the pixel hunting thing where it's like, okay, how many pixels do I have to move the chicken so it fits in the right spot and doesn't like have this huge gaping hole in the background arc? Which is kind of fun, though. It's like, okay, let's move it to the right, 5. Okay, let's move it down 3, and so on. It's sort of like a game in itself. So I figured that would be the best programming thing to have her at least experience.
Cool. All right, so can you get her to get really good at pixel art? That would be... No, that's really cool, though. I like that you're teaching her this stuff. Maybe she'll decide that she really likes programming.
Maybe. Or she'll hate it.
Or she'll hate it because you just have her moving images around.
Nobody does that programming anymore.
Oh.
Anyway, what was that idea you were just saying? I think I might have cut you off. Some sort of RPG thing. I'll throw that in the list of games.
Oh, no. Like I said, I did not have much idea beyond making a game in RPG Maker that's story-driven like all the other games we do, except it kind of looks and feels like an RPG, but without combat. Unless we want to do it like, what was it, Sakura Wars that I'm always talking about, where it's mostly a visual novel and then there's one big battle at the end. Like, we could do something like that, but...
Yeah, I think I actually...
It's probably already on a list somewhere.
I don't know if I still have that, but I know I tried to come up with how to do a battle like that for Fire Emblem, with the second Fire Emblem game, which ended up being kind of impossible, but I think I figured out how they programmed the game to make it work, but I'm not entirely sure. Yeah. Nobody's really hacked the game to figure out what the, how it, internal stuff is determined.
Well, that's probably why I would use RPG Maker to do it, because, I mean, it's just like Renpy, right? It has all that kind of stuff built in, and we just kind of move the pieces around. You don't have to program... I haven't used it before, but I assume it. You don't necessarily have to build your own combat system. Like, it takes care of that part for you. But that would be far in the future if we were to do something like that.
Far
but
in the future, yeah. I've actually got... I think this idea came from Diana Gray... Which is, you must be able to marry the prince character. Our character is a girl who desperately wants to marry a hot prince, so she invades a kingdom with 7 hot princes.
That just sounds like a visual novel.
I know, but we have to fight people in order to gain prominence. And
do you have to fight the princes? Oh.
Yeah, maybe, I don't know, so... I also have the list. Secret love letters got mailed. Uh-oh. I still thought that was a cool idea. That's my actual title, working title for the game.
You're just stealing that from that Netflix movie.
Yeah, I know, right? But I would do it better than the movie. So.
Whoa. That was a really good movie.
I haven't seen the movie. I only read the book, so the book had major problems.
Oh.
So the book lost me about halfway through, and so I'm like, I want to see this idea, because it's a really cool idea, but I don't want it to fall apart halfway through.
To All the Boys I Loved Before, that's what it
that's
was called,
it. Yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, just so people know what we're talking about. Yeah.
Somebody's like, Michael, you just need to read a harem anime, or watch one of those, and that's what you need. I'm like, I don't know about that. But what did I say? Well, it's To All the Boys I Loved Before is the name of it. And in the book, it's basically to both the boys I've loved before, because the other three don't count. I'm like, oh, that's kind of a letdown.
Yeah, that's pretty similar to the film, too.
Yeah, so I kind of wanted to see the other three guys. I wanted to see them do stuff. And
you got
to
wait for the other books. Actually, other books are probably out already.
Yeah, they're all out already. Yeah. But yeah, I'm pretty sure the one guy, he like shows up. There's like this random 2-chapter interlude where she goes to see guy number 5, and they just sort of stare at each other, and he recognizes her, and then we go back to the normal story, and it never gets mentioned again. I'm like, you're setting up for a sequel, right? Otherwise, that's just a weird interlude.
Well, hopefully someone commissions you to review the sequel then.
Yeah, hopefully, maybe. I don't know. They probably don't want me to because I didn't like the first one.
Because you trashed the first one. Oh. Yeah. Fair enough.
It did have a lot of good stuff, though. So let's see. I had 3 things on my list of games I played. Did you play any games this past month?
Actually, yeah. I've been replaying Dragon Warrior 7 on the original PlayStation, not the 3DS remake, the original 16-bit looking one.
Is this... it is what I thought it was. Cool.
Yeah. I don't know. I really liked it the first time I played it. It's a good game to kind of just relax and listen to podcasts and level up your characters. Kind of a nice. It's a nice way to kind of chill after a day of working on stuff. And I like the story too. It imagines a world where only this one island exists. And you end up traveling back in time and solving problems for all of these islands that disappeared and then bringing them back into existence in the present time. So it's cool. You go back in time, you fight the volcano monsters or whatever, and then you travel back to the present, which is like 50, 60, 100 years later, and you get to kind of see what happened with this place after you left and how it progressed and how everyone's doing.
That does sound neat. I think I got the 3DS remake, but never played it.
Yeah. Well, it's also a million hours long. Like, I was looking at my save file from before, and it was something like, 150 hours, which is, like, completely unheard of for me playing in-game. I'm sure part of that is because you can't save anywhere, so I probably left the system on a bunch of times. Because I couldn't stop and save, so I just kind of left it running. But
you can't save anywhere? It's like you need to beat the game in one sitting?
No, sorry. I mean, it doesn't have a save hyphen anywhere feature. Like, you can save in town.
Okay,
but you can't.
Okay.
Yeah, it doesn't have, like, quick save. It doesn't have, like, I'm just going to save right now and quit. You have to get back to a town and go to the church to save. So, I don't know, I'm really into it. I'm getting so into it, actually, that I think I'm going to go play the other Dragon Warrior games after this. The modern ones, not the really old ones. So I'm going to go back and play 8, 9, and I think 11. 10 is an MMO that only exists in Japan, so that's not happening. But anyway.
Okay, so Dragon Quest, Dragon Warrior are the same thing?
Yes, they are.
Okay.
Yeah. I think so. This one is Dragon Warrior 7, but I think on the 3DS it is Dragon Quest 7 now. They started calling them Dragon Quest in the United States after 7, I think, and then all the remakes. It was always Dragon Quest in Japan, but Dragon Warrior in the US until fairly recently.
Okay, that makes sense.
And my wife actually is doing some research into some of the Dragon Quest games at this time too. She just did a presentation at a video game music conference in Connecticut a couple of months ago. She did a whole paper about the beeping noise that plays when characters are talking. It's like the same thing that Phoenix Wright has.
Beep, 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 beep. Yeah.
Yeah. She did a whole talk on that. I thought that was kind of cool. Anyway, what have you been playing?
I'm just looking up now, just talking about the quest, reminding me about King's Quest, and I know there's a series called Queen's Quest now.
Queen's Quest?
It has nothing to do with King's Quest, I'm sure. It looks like it's just, it's like, that's a really cool name for this. It's another hidden object puzzle adventure game.
Man!
I think it's Hidden Objects, right? Oh, no, I haven't
checked.
Sorry,
I shouldn't be so disappointed. You like those kind of games.
I'll have to look.
You like them more than I do.
I'm not a big fan of the Hidden Objects, but I do like a lot of the things. I like having the inventory on screen the entire time. That's what I really like.
Okay.
I just realized that while playing other adventure games. It's like, I really like the...
You did that in when you were programming the RuneScape game, right? It's all at the bottom?
Yep, it's all at the bottom. Yeah, unfortunately, cool. I wasn't able to figure out how to have the entire inventory display on screen. So the inventory only has like the first 7 slots, and then you press a button to go to the rest of the inventory. So what actually happens is that I just switched the first 7 items in the inventory with the last 7 items in the inventory. You don't actually switch from one side of the inventory to the other. They just flip.
Oh, that's funny.
It's I couldn't figure out how to do that normally.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense. Like, I don't know how you could fit all of the items on the screen at once. It would, take up a big portion of the screen.
Well, what would be, I guess, ideal is, you have the right and left buttons. What I see a lot of inventories do is, you press the button to go right and it moves the inventory over one.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
A scroll through inventory. Yeah. Mine's a fake scroll through inventory.
Yeah, that's interesting. I never even, like, when we were making the Beard and Mirror, it never even really occurred to me to do an inventory like that just because, it's not how King's Quest does it. That's not how the newer Monkey Islands do it anyway, but I can see how it's helpful. I mean, saves you a couple clicks. You don't have to go through a separate menu.
Yeah, I complained about that with you know, I've been reviewing all the Nancy Drew games slowly, and game number 10 is when they switch how the inventory works. They basically just change the interface, and now you have to, you know, click a button to open up the inventory, and then get something out of your inventory, and then click the button again to close your inventory, and I just thought that's kind of a pain, all is the constantly opening and closing the inventory. Okay, so three games I was playing. Lost Lands, Mistakes of the Past. So I played that in the past month. It's an interesting game. It's a casual... It's, again, one of those hidden objects casual games. They don't really do have too many hidden objects, but... Basically, you have to go back in time 500 years to stop this evil person, Alexandra, or whatever her name is, I forget. Basically, she wakes up and takes over the world. So you're going back in time 500 years to the moment when she was, like, put inside the tomb to begin with and put to sleep for 500 years.
Oh, cool.
And you basically try to kill her there. You kill her there, and then your character goes back in time, but it ends up, oh, no, she changed the timeline, and now it's an even worse future.
Oh, man, it's like alternate 1985 and Back to the Future.
I know. So the thing is,
Biff's the president. No,
the map made me think we would be going to like three alternate futures because there are three areas on the map labeled alternate presents. I'm like, yeah, but no, it's three different areas in the one alternate present. But I haven't played the Lost Lands games with those characters, but apparently, two of them are from other games in the series.
Okay.
So I imagine if I had played the other games, it might mean more to me. But I that was just my complaint. I thought it was really cool. I like the you know, going through the alternate present. But I'm like, I thought there would be something else. I thought there would be.
Oh my gosh, there's a lot of these games.
Time travel. There should be only like five. Or are there a ton?
There's six. Oh, there's six, which feels like a lot to me. According to Steam, there are six.
Oh. Let's see. I also played Detective Die, The Silk Rose Murders, which is a game I'd recommend to you. It is an adventure game.
Okay.
Pixel art? Pixel art, yeah. Really cool pixel art, too. It looks like the person who wrote the game did all the pixel art. But it's interesting. It takes place in Tang Dynasty China, where you're basically hired by the Empress to stop a serial killer. It's one of those mean serial killers who's like taunting you at every turn. And apparently he's like a real person, this Dai Renjai. Apparently he was a real person, very well respected. There's like an anime series based on him.
Oh.
I'd never heard of him, but it was just really different to have this completely, ancient China setting. And it was neat. I really liked it. Basically, you find clues and use it to solve, I think it's four or five murder mysteries. I think like an American equivalent would be something like Benjamin Franklin, the Philadelphia Murders. I was like, I would totally play that game.
Yeah, wait, that sounds great. Yeah,
I want to write that now.
write that in the idea list. Can that be our mystery RPG?
Yeah.
You're writing it down, aren't you?
I've been kicking around different ideas of how you would do that. I'd probably have to play fast and loose with the history a little bit, but I recently read a Johnny Tremaine, which takes place in colonial America. I'm like, oh, that was kind of an interesting game.
So, Michael, I wanted to ask you. I've been hearing a lot about Midnight in Salem, the new Nancy Drew game. What's the deal?
You have?
I don't know, last few months they have a release date and everything, and I guess maybe that's it.
Yeah, they keep showing the same ad to me over and over again.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know, I guess they're trying to get everybody excited for Nancy Drew Midnight in Salem.
But it's actually coming out now, right?
We hope so.
I feel like people have been talking about this game for like years and years.
So the pre-orders begin October 1st, and the game releases November 19th. So...
Oh, yeah, there it is.
How many months is that? Like 3 months? Four months, yeah. So 3 or 4 months, the game should be coming out, which means they should be getting close to finishing the game, or at least the game is in beta mode, right?
It's got to be pretty close by now, yeah.
Yeah, so within the past month to 2 months, they released two new pieces of artwork, and I think that's sort of what some of the stuff was.
Oh yeah, well, I'm looking at the Her Interactive wiki for it right now. It looks like there's art for a bunch of different characters.
Okay, yeah, it looks... Okay, yeah, they re-released...
Judge Danforth, Lauren Corey...
So it's Deirdre Shannon and Frank and Joe Hardy they released character art for. So with the Frank and Joe Hardy, I don't know, that was like, I think it was around like New Year's Day or something. They showed a little bit of the art. I don't know, they showed a picture of somebody who was drawing the picture. And everybody got excited, and I'm like, it's a picture of someone drawing a picture of concept art. So they actually released the actual concept art. And they're like, oh, well, that's cool. I guess it's okay. Man, that one Hardy Boy looks... I don't know. I wish I knew their names.
I like the one in the jean jacket.
Yeah. I like the one in the 1980s vest that
yes.
looks like a life vest. That's Frank, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, if that vest was orange, he'd be doing like Marty McFly cosplay.
Yeah. So he had a vest like that in a game in one of the Nancy Drew games, number 13. And it's also he's wearing that vest in my favorite Hardy Boys book, which is like Case Files number 11, Brother versus Brother, where they just try to kill each other for the entire book. It's awesome. One of them hits his head and gets amnesia, and he thinks the other brother, you know, is trying to kill him. And so he's trying to reach this destination while trying to, you know, kill his brother.
It sounds like, what was it for Game Cola, where we did, like, a one-shot D&D thing of Nancy Drew, remember that?
Yeah.
It was like, me and Michael Ridgeway playing the Hardys and Nathaniel Hoover playing Nancy Drew, if I recall.
Yes.
Oh, man. Good times. Anyway, yes, are you excited? Are you going to, like, stream it the day it comes out?
I'm not sure. I probably am. I was also going to say the other Nancy Drew thing with Deirdre Shannon. We already had the concept art of Deirdre Shannon. Here's another concept art of Deirdre Shannon. It's her basically where it looks to me like somebody just tried to draw that same picture again. She's wearing the same outfit.
She's got a cool coat, though. I like that coat.
Yeah.
Well, this person looks kind of like a witch.
I think that person's supposed to be. Jenna Ravencraft. Yeah.
Runs a local paranormal tour company. It's well known locally that her tours are faked. Or are they?
Whoa.
Do you know, are they still doing, like, physical releases for this game? Do you know? Like, because I feel like they did for all the other ones, but it's not, like, really a thing anymore with computer games.
They did with all the other ones, and since then, they've stopped selling physical copies of, like, all their games. But I see here on their available on thing, it's like, available on physical copy, digital download, copy, digital download. I think they have... I don't know, I'm just going to click on a random game, see. Yep, no physical copies. Okay, yeah, they stopped selling physical copies of their games, so I don't know what the story is with that.
I'm just checking Amazon to see if they have a pre-order. They do not. There's a song called Midnight in Salem by Toro Blanco, but I feel like that's not what we're looking for.
It's probably not based on the game, yeah.
Probably totally unrelated. Well, that's super exciting, though. I think it's a relief for a lot of Nancy Drew fans out here that this thing looks like it's actually going to come out finally.
Yeah, I hope it does come out. Yeah. I don't know what would happen if it would be if it'd been delayed. They have released like 2 seconds of footage, though. So it's yeah.
I was about to say maybe they'll release their trailer at E3, but I think E3 already happened, didn't it? So probably not.
Yeah. Well, you know, at this point, we're just in the Schrodinger's cat scenario. The game is inside a box. We don't know if it's finished or if it hasn't been started yet.
Oh, no. It does make me nervous, like, that we it's what, 4 months from release, you said. We haven't seen like an actual screenshot yet.
Yeah, that's the one screenshot.
Somewhat weird. Like, I started programming Cat President 2 yesterday. I could take a screenshot of it right now, and it would look like basically the finished version of that scene. Not that, you know, Cat President is as complicated a game as Nancy Drew is, but...
But still, you know,
they've been working on it for 5 years or whatever.
I was going to say, if they're only releasing concept art at this point, it's like you think they'd have all the animated models completed.
It's kind of a red flag, but...
But we know they have the animated model for the one character finished, because that was attached to their announcement of the release date.
Oh, well, hopefully there's more than that.
Hopefully. Oh, and I was also going to say the third game I played was Murder.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
Murder at Chateau Rouge, or Rouge, I don't know
how. You were talking about that before, right? Isn't it somebody you knew?
Yeah, I mentioned this briefly at the end of the previous podcast that, you know, my friend Abigail made this game, and she actually came for me for a little bit of help with programming on RenPy. She's like, how do I change the icon? I don't know how to do that.
Oh, yeah.
And so I hope I was able to help her. I just looked up Mermaid Mission Titanic. It's like, I think this is the file that refers to the icon.
Yeah, I think that's where you just, like, put the icon file in. It's a specific folder you need to just put the file in, and it's supposed to work. I think I usually end up putting it in a few different folders because I can never remember where the right spot is. So I'm like, it's probably one of these.
Yeah, so what I did was, I think I just found what looked like the actual icon, you know, the default icon, which I'm sure is just the normal RenPy icon. And so I just deleted that and put my icon in there and gave it the exact same name.
Yes, yes.
Hoping that would work, and I think it did, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, so anyway, you know, Abigail, the game Murder at Chateau Rouge apparently started as a murder mystery dinner theater that she did with one of those Regency places, I think, and it's available on Etsy, and basically what she did was, you know, a lot of it is improv, so people could play it themselves, so... I forget how many chapters there are, 4 or so chapters and like 5 characters. And I've seen her outline, which is like, you know, chapter 1, this character, here's what's going to happen for you. Here's some evidence that you're going to find, or some evidence that's going to make you look suspicious.
Oh man, that,
like,
sounds fun.
It's like, you can expect to be accused by such and such person. You must accuse this person.
I want to do this.
Yeah, so it's split up into basically 5 different chapters. I guess that's how murder mystery theaters work.
Yeah.
So, she already had that done, and so she's kind of, you know, already had this murder mystery. She's actually got pictures of herself acting it out too, which is cool. But, you know, because she already had that finished, she wrote it out, and that's where the game came from. It's basically writing this stuff that, you know, she had performed a couple of times. And so she came to me and was like, you know, I've got like 5 or 6 other ones that I've done murder mystery theater. It's basically, you know, she did the one and she kept getting rehired by different like Regency groups to make other ones.
Wow.
And so they're all sort of vaguely like, you know, lords and ladies, but not really? I don't know if that makes sense.
To download this game, too.
Yeah, it's free, I think. I don't know. It's on itch.io. But,
99 cents on Google.
Oh, yeah. And I gave her the information. It's like how to publish on Steam. I don't know if anything came of that. But I let her know about itch.io, too, and how to upload to that, which is so much easier.
Oh, yeah. Well, itch, you just, like, click the upload button.
I know. Just upload
Steam
the folder.
Steam and its frickin' DOS prompt.
So,
sorry, I've complained about that enough on this podcast.
Yeah, so she wanted to know if I wanted to write one of the games with her, because it's like, well, she's got a bunch of these games with the outline already done. So she and I have been going back and forth over the past few weeks, trying to make up an outline for Pride and Prejudice and Murder, I think was it. Yeah.
Do you know who she got to do the art? The art looks really nice.
She hired somebody on Fiverr.
On Fiverr, really?
Somebody she knows from Fiverr got to do the art.
Yeah, well, I can't tell. Are the backgrounds photos, or...?
The backgrounds are photos, yeah. So those are from a public domain photo
just
service.
Just like Pixabay or something like that?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, the character art looks really nice, though. Oh, wow. I might have to get in touch with her about that at some point.
I know. I mean, that was one of the things I went over with her, trying to figure out how to do the art. I think we're going to try to make this Pride and Prejudice and Murder, because we've outlined it now, and I said, I want this pathway, and she wants that pathway. So hopefully within like the next week or so, we'll start writing it.
It's funny that you said like that's where that she got it from her mystery theater, because I remember on Twitter I had like was talking about how I was starting to get into D&D, and you had mentioned that I should take the story from our D&D campaign and try to turn that into a video game. Yeah, well, I feel like we have too many ideas that at this point that I don't need to do that.
We need five more writers. Yeah,
I know. Oh, maybe someday if we make some money. Oh, actually, I was going to tell you, we finally hit the $1,000 mark for Pizza Delivery Boy.
Whoa, does that mean we get badges and stuff?
Well, it should mean that I get my $100 back for my publishing fee. But we still don't get trading cards.
I want trading
cards. I thought that was going to be the threshold, but I guess not. I don't know what the threshold is.
Well, with Mermaid Mission Titanic, I think they permanently disabled trading cards because the game is free.
Yeah, well, it's this whole thing. Like, that's why they don't just let anyone have trading cards anymore. So apparently, people were, like, gaming the system, like, real, real bad with the trading cards. Like, making, like, publishing fake games on Steam to make money off of the stupid trading cards. So that's why, that's that, and that might be why they shut down Greenlight, too. It was like there's huge, like, epic scandal with stupid trading cards.
That just sounds so pointless.
So they have, like, this whole, you know, set of standards that every game has to pass in order to prove that it's quote-unquote real, and Pizza Boy has not met those standards yet, which is not great. That's why I said I thought it was going to be the $1,000 mark, since that was the limit for getting your Steam submission refund, but nope.
Gosh, okay, well, I've got all the, I've still got all the trading cards here. You know, I think my person actually went and did, like, unique art.
That's
for
right, you
the,
have the stuff ready
cards.
To go for Mermaid Mission Titanic.
Yeah, I guess I should just release the trading card, I don't know, on Twitter or something. Okay, I've got all the badges. Ooh, those are kind of cool.
Oh, man, you got badges and everything.
I have emoticons too. Oh my god!
Can you put pizza on everything, and then I can use them later? It's like, yeah, that's Doug. Can't you tell? It's Doug as a mermaid.
Oh, and profile backgrounds too.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, this profile background. This is like some unique art just for that.
Oh.
Wow. I'm so sad now. Trading cards is usually just with trading cards it's just the character standing in front of different backgrounds, but I mean it's like, well, here's two people standing in front of background that they never stood in front of in the actual game. It's like Charles and Molly, the elderly couple that run run the hotel. There's a cool trading card of them on the Titanic next to each other, posing and being all lovey-dovey. It's very cute.
Yeah, no, I absolutely just use, like, character art for the five or six most important characters or whatever, and then stop there. I'm like, look, it doesn't matter that much. I don't know. I don't really want to be doing this anyway. But, yeah, we'll see if we ever get there with Pizza Boy, I guess.
I hope so.
I don't know what the limit is at this point. I'll give a quick update about Cat President 2 if you're interested.
Okay, let's hear it.
Well, I guess actually
wants to hear that.
I guess you already know because we've been emailing back and forth, but we have the main six cats casted. We know who the six cats are going to be now. The six main dateable cats. So that's pretty cool. I'm really happy about all of them. They're all super exciting, and I think we did a really good job of picking characters that all kind of look different from one another, too. I know that was a problem with the first game. at least in like the very beginning, people kept mixing up Dr. Nom Noms and Kale because they're introduced right next to each other and they look pretty similar. So
we were I know we tried to put in a line like the cat on the left nodded. Yeah, as he said this.
We added stuff. Yeah.
Kale is supposed to be forgettable, though. It's fine.
Well, and I added stuff to, I patched the part where Thunderpawn everyone is introduced to. I think one or multiple of the characters does a little shaking animation when they're introduced too.
Okay, yeah, that would be very helpful. Which I thought was pretty helpful, yeah.
Which maybe I'll end up doing that again this time. We'll see.
I think this time we tried having the characters show up, like, separately.
Yeah, you're right.
Which helps too. That's the other way of doing it.
Yeah. And I think they all look very, very different from one another, which I think should help as well.
Yeah, they're not all striped cats, that's great.
Yeah, exactly. Well, because we got 400 submissions or whatever it was, we got plenty of options for cat models this time. So that's cool. We've also started doing our casting call for the human characters. If you at home listening to this would like to actually be a character in the game... I think you can find it on my Twitter account, at least, at Paul M. France, and there should be a link to the casting call there. We've got a bunch of pretty good submissions already. We haven't made any final decisions yet, though.
I really liked how, you know, in your descriptions of the poses, one was... you put a spoiler warning as, like, this character is going to be... imitating the pose that the cat does, right?
Yeah.
And just like, that's a spoiler because you don't want to say what the cat's name is. But...
yeah, I don't know. It felt weird. I probably should have just did it, but it didn't really matter.
You should probably just put down, like, looking to the side like a cat.
Well, yeah, I probably should
looking
have
to the
that.
Side
that
like, made... spoiler.
That would have made a lot more sense. Yeah, I probably should have done that. I guess I could just go back and do that. But...
No, I can't keep it that way.
So that's happening now. Very excited about that. It looks like you might be seeing some familiar faces from Pizza Delivery Boy. I'll just leave it at that for now.
That's good. I did a lot of... I think it took me like 1 to 2 hours just going through the scripts and noting all the various poses that the human characters could do. That took me way longer than I expected.
Well, I very much appreciate you doing that so I didn't have to.
Something which I found really difficult was the mother and father, because our main character has a mother and father, and they basically kind of act the same a lot. So I think half of their poses are, like, shared in common.
Well, I love some of the descriptions you came up with. Like, for mom and dad, they both have, they need the pose, fake apologizing, and then a pose for... did she buy our fake apology? or what? These characters have the pose, playing with a cute kitty and loving it. this one has not sure why he is here. Telling the main characters she might die. Like, I think, what was it? That was, when we had Victoria on, she talked about how actually helpful that these kind of descriptions are. Like, in you know, giving the right expression. Like, these very,
yeah, as
very,
opposed
very
to
specific.
Being, you know, I could just say, serious look, or you're telling the main character she's gonna die.
Yeah, exactly. No, it's good. It should get us some pretty good images. Oh, one more. this character, impressed by a handsome kitty, wants to pet the kitty. Disappointed she can't pet the kitty. Oh, man.
I think we just went through that entire character's
yeah, I think
story
that was like
arc.
All of their dialogue. But I didn't say who the character is. You'll have to play the game.
Yeah, that's their entire story.
But yeah, so that's all happening right now, which is super exciting. And like I said, as of yesterday, I've started actually putting the game together. And I run into a fun, sort of unexpected issue. It is now resolved, but... I think I talked briefly before about how I want to use a lot of the same GUI interface kind of stuff from the previous game just to sort of save time and make sure we can get this game out by next year's election, since that's sort of the point. I discovered, though, that a lot of the code from the original game was not actually compatible with the current version of RenPy. They changed how a lot of that stuff is sort of laid out in the script, so it wasn't simple to just sort of copy-paste everything.
So did you just download an older version of RenPy?
You know me very well, Michael. That's exactly what I did.
Yeah.
So far it's working out great. Like, the game looks good. It looks like the first Cat President.
So it does look good. Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm there are certain things I'm definitely going to have to change. Obviously, the title screen is going to have to say Cat President 2, for example. And I had the idea
just put
that
a number 2.
Yeah. Well, I need to change the subtitle too, which we don't know what that is yet. But I also had the idea, you know how the title screen it just plays Hail to the Chief, but with random meows.
Yeah.
So I want to do that. I think I was going to use different meows for the sequel, so you know it's a brand new game, guys. the title screen looks exactly the same, but the meowing is different.
Yeah.
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 So I spent a little time banging my head against the computer trying to figure that out, but that's all sorted now. And Michael, I want you to know, I have coded the first 3 lines of dialogue.
Nice.
And then I got distracted photoshopping the background for the intro scene, which is mostly done, so I can keep going at this point. But
was coding the first 3 lines of dialogue more difficult than just copy pasting?
No, it wasn't. I copy pasted the first 3 lines, and then I got into Photoshop.
Okay, good to know.
Yeah. Anyway, so yeah, that's where the game stands as of yesterday. And it's quite smooth sailing at this point. And, I forgot how much I enjoyed just kinda, it's sort of like what I was saying with Dragon Quest, actually. I just like sitting, relaxing, listening to my podcast and editing cute pictures of cats. It's a lot of fun. It's very, very chill kind of work. So that's where we are with that.
In real life, in between this podcast and the last one, they had the presidential debates, and it was a joke in Cat President where we had the debate with like 50 candidates, so each candidate only got to say like 2 sentences, but there were 20 people in the real life presidential debate, so
yeah,
what was it? Something like 40% of them got less than 5 minutes
of
talking
time. Yeah, I was just
going
to say that, yeah.
Or yeah, no, it was they only got 2 questions, not including the intro and the outro, so that was the only time they were able to talk.
Yeah, it was kind of interesting though, because you know what I didn't see happening was they weren't like arguing about how much time they were getting, unlike in the 2016 debates where it felt like half of their talking time was them asking for more talking time. That didn't come up at all, despite the fact that there were so many candidates this time. I thought that was kind of interesting. Maybe somebody told them that was a bad look. Anyway, how do you feel about listener questions?
Yeah, let's get some listener questions in.
Okay. This question comes from Elizabeth Pfeffer. What game characters would you like to see together in a game?
So I presume this is a crossover question.
Yeah.
And it's not like I want to see Apollo Justice team up with Miles Edgeworth.
I don't want to see that.
I want to see Apollo Justice team up with Larry Butts.
Nope. You see, you keep starting with Apollo Justice, and you're losing me. I want to see Apollo Justice team with a hole in the ground.
Oh my gosh, what? He did not kill the series, did he?
He kind of did. I also think Waluigi should be in Smash Brothers, but that's kind of a given.
Well, Waluigi, yeah, I want to see a Waluigi game.
That would be great!
Because he's the character my daughter knows. I wouldn't even know what genre. I kind of want it to be like just an out-of-nowhere genre.
Dating
Waluigi
sim?
Dating sim.
Yes,
yeah.
We can do that. Let's contact Nintendo.
Oh man, there are results which show up when you...
Someone already did that?
It's so unfair.
That's the best idea we've ever
Wow,
had.
He is really handsome in this dating sim, and there's him with a bridal veil.
All right, so how much is it to commission you to play this game?
I do not know.
Look at that. Oh. All right, well, are there any characters you'd like to see together?
Oh, sorry, we're talking about dating sims. I'm like, I don't know who I want to see Waluigi with. I want to see him steal Princess Daisy.
No. Sorry, that's the question now. Who would you like to see Waluigi date?
Princess Daisy. I want to see that drama happen.
Really? Really? What about Luigi?
That's the drama that I want
that's
to happen.
That's the drama.
That's the drama. It feels like that would be something that would happen, because it's kind of indicated that Bowser's always stealing Princess Peach because he has a crush on her and he's trying to steal her away from Mario.
And marry her, yeah.
So Waluigi can do the same thing.
Okay. Yeah, okay. I think that answers the question very well. We have one more from Allison Rose. If you could remaster a classic video game or a game that's classic to you, what would it be and why? And I was trying to think of this in terms of like games that you and I could realistically remaster.
Oh yeah, okay.
As opposed to being like, I want to see, you know, Super I was going to say Brothers. Day of the Tentacle HD, but that already exists.
I was going to say DuckTales 3, yeah.
Willy Beamish HD, heck yeah. But, you know, as we were talking about before, art isn't, like, our best area at the moment. So I feel like a remaster, like, that's the whole thing, right? Is that you're making the art look nicer for a modern audience. So that sort of limits our options. I did think it might be kind of cool to remake, like, old classic text adventures. Like, there's a ton of those on, like, the Apple II, MS-DOS, like, games that you cannot play very, very easily anymore. It might be kind of cool to find a way to bring those to a modern audience.
Yeah, like a Halloween one? That would be cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was thinking also, like, maybe the Oregon Trail could be done as a text-based game. I think that reasonably could be done.
We could remake Oregon Trail.
Oregon Trail. Yeah, we could. I could take actual pictures of these various locations. Oh,
yes.
Then I'd have to drive out to the Dale. That's like
we're
two,
definitely
3 hours
doing
east. Come
no,
on.
No, we're definitely doing a road trip now for our FMV Oregon Trail game. Heck yeah.
But then we'd have to go to Wyoming.
You don't think that would be an awesome trip? And we could do like daily vlogs for your YouTube channel about all our fun adventures. This sounds great. I'm on board.
That would be actually amazing.
That's what we would do, though. We would do, like, a modern Oregon Trail as, like, a cool road trip game, right? That's the game.
Like I said, I also wanted to do Love on the Oregon Trail. I just think that's a cool title. I don't know if it's an actual, if there's any story, but I think that would be great.
It is a good name. Anyway, I think that about does it for this month's episode. You can follow us on Twitter. I'm at Paul M. Franzen, and Michael is at Argelfumpf, spelled exactly as it sounds. You can check out all of our games on Steam or itch.io, or just visit orock.com for the complete library. You can also find Michael's new game, 1 Minute Mysteries. It's on the Choice of Games website. It's on Android. It's on iOS. Definitely check it out, especially the next few days while it's still on sale. Our theme song is Dead Monster by March of the Danger Men. You can check them out on SoundCloud. And finally, if you have any questions about game development or our games specifically, we would love to hear them. Email them to podcast@ourrock.com. Is there anything you'd like to add, Michael?
So I just found an article, 15 of the most WTF am I doing with my life dating sims. Cat
yes.
President is number 9 on there.
What?
And, John Cena's Sexy High School Adventure is number 11.
What a great
so
list
we
for
managed
us
to
be
beat
on.
John Cena by 2, so we are
yes!
amazing.
We are better than John Cena. All right. Well, see you all next month. Okay. Bye, everyone.
Bye. Oh, food dating games.
Oh, yeah, I remember the alpaca game.
Paca Plus, yeah.
Yeah. Dinosaur dating games? Jurassic Heart, that's pretty good.
I actually do like that, yeah.
You try to romance a ukulele playing T-Rex? Let's see. Dog dating sims, they stole that from us. Basically the same thing as a cat dating sim. Wait, did you see this one? Horse dating sim. A stable relationship.
No. Why are
That's
you...
extremely good. And of course, the classic genre of Nicolas Cage dating Sims.
Caging me softly. Including,
yes, cage of my heart. Oh, man. Okay.